Sunny had kept in mind what her mother had said about presentation being as important as the food itself, and managed to put together a lovely breakfast, despite the difficult circumstances. First, she had opened the jug of frozen orange juice and used a small spoon to chip away at the ice until she had a large heap of juice shavings, which she arranged into tiny piles on each plate to make orange granita, a cold and delicious concoction that is often served at fancy dinner parties and masked balls. Then Sunny had rinsed her mouth out with melted snow, so it would be as clean as possible, and chopped some of the coffee beans with her teeth. She placed a bit of the ground coffee inside each cup and combined it with more snow she had melted in her own hands to make iced coffee, a delicious beverage I first enjoyed when visiting Thailand to interview a taxi driver. Meanwhile, the youngest Baudelaire had put the chilled bread underneath her shirt to warm it up, and when it was warm enough to eat, she put one slice on each plate and, using a small spoon, spread some boysenberry jam on each piece of bread. She did her best to spread the jam in the shape of an eye to please the villains who would be eating it. And, as a finishing touch, she found a bouquet of ivy, which Count Olaf had given his girlfriend not so long ago, and placed it in the small pitcher of the tea set used for cream. There was no cream, but the ivy would help the presentation of the food by serving as a centerpiece, a word which here means a decoration placed in the middle of a table, often used to distract people from the food. Of course, orange granita and iced coffee are not often served at al fresco breakfasts on cold mountain peaks, and bread with jam is more traditionally prepared as toast, but without a source of heat or any other cooking equipment, Sunny had done the best she could, and she hoped that Olaf and his troop might appreciate her efforts.
"Café Freddy, sorbet, toast tartare," she announced.
"What is this?"
Count Olaf said suspiciously, peering into his coffee cup.
"It looks like coffee, but it's freezing cold."
"And what is this orange stuff?" Esme asked suspiciously. "I want fashionable in-food, not a handful of ice."
Colette picked up a piece of the bread and stared at it suspiciously.
"This toast feels raw," she said. "Is it safe to eat raw toast?" "Of course not," Hugo said. "I bet that baby is trying to poison us."
"Actually, this coffee isn't bad," one of the white-faced women said, "even if it is a little bitter. Could someone pass the sugar, please?"
"Sugar!"
shrieked Count Olaf, erupting in anger. He stood up, grabbed one end of the blanket, and pulled as hard as he could, scattering all of Sunny's hard work. Food, beverages, and dishes fell everywhere, and Sunny had to duck to avoid getting hit on the head with a flying fork.
"All the sugar in the world couldn't save this terrible breakfast," he roared,
and then leaned down so that his shiny, shiny eyes stared right into Sunny's.
"I told you to make a nice, hot breakfast, and you gave me cold, disgusting nonsense," he said,
his smelly breath making a cloud in the chilly air.
"Don't you see how high up we are, you saber-toothed papoose? If I threw you off Mount Fraught, you'd never survive."
"Olaf," Esme said, "I'm surprised at you. Surely you remember that we'll never get the Baudelaire fortune if we toss Sunny off the mountain. We have to keep Sunny alive for the greater good."
"Yes, yes," Count Olaf said, "I remember. I'm not going to throw the orphan off the mountain. I just wanted to terrify her."
He gave Sunny a cruel smirk and then turned to the hook-handed man.
"Walk over to that frozen waterfall," he said, "and crack a hole in the ice with your hook. The stream is full of stricken salmon. Catch enough for all of us, and we'll have the baby prepare us a proper meal."
"Good idea, Olaf,"
the hook-handed man said, standing up and walking toward the icy slope. You're as smart as you are intelligent.
Sake sushi,
Sunny said quietly, which meant, I don't think you'll enjoy salmon if it's not cooked.
Stop your baby talk and wash these dishes,
Olaf ordered.
They're covered in lousy food.
You know, Olaf, said the white-faced woman, who had asked for sugar, it's none of my business, but we might put someone else in charge of cooking. It was probably difficult for a baby to prepare a hot breakfast without a fire.
But there is a fire,
said a deep, low voice, and everyone turned around to see who had arrived.